Hey, Devoted Dreamer. You're listening to episode 48 of the Devoted Dreamers podcast. I'm your host, Merit Ansa, and I'm honored to have you here today. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the courageous women who come on this show as they share about the steps they're taking toward their God-shaped dreams and how God uses the things He puts on our hearts to draw us to Himself. I pray this time points you to your own God-shaped dream as you hear others talk about theirs. But whether you have a dream or no idea of what God may be calling you to, you are welcome here. As a curator of stories, it's my passion to collect and share with you these stories of what it looks like to listen and wait on God for our dreams. I created this podcast with the hope that it will cultivate the momentum we all need to find and fuel our calling. I also hope that this show points you to God and His Word, because He has made you for a purpose, and the best place to learn that is from Him, because He has a plan for your life. He has given you great value and worth as His child. So I just hope that you can take a minute with this week's episode to seek Him, to listen, to find rest, and lean in to the courage, space, and permission you need to take a little baby step toward your God-shaped dream. I love hearing from listeners, your shout-outs on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and especially the reviews you've been leaving lately for me on iTunes are such an encouragement. And here's one of the latest reviews from username Imperfect People, who says, "A breath of fresh air. Oh, I just love this podcast, her honest conversations, interviews, and insight." You know, Imperfect People, these conversations are such a blessing to me. I'm so glad they are a blessing to you as well. I would love to know your name, so please drop me a note online and let me know that this review was from you. So this week, I'm introducing you to Hannah Tolt. Hannah is an extroverted introvert with a passion for authenticity, people, and simple living. She owns a photography business in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, photographing weddings, portraits, and families. She started her business to combine her love for people with her creative eye. She has an adventurous spirit and goes on spontaneous trips to explore new places by herself or with close friends. She spent most of her life in Wisconsin, but her college years were in the South, where she picked up the useful habit of using the word y'all, which I totally agree is useful. But you can often find her spontaneously dancing, thinking, rollerblading, and pursuing meaningful conversation. But you will likely never find her watching TV, going to bed early, or sitting still. In this tender conversation with Hannah, she shares about her story of how an eating disorder nearly destroyed her life 10 years ago. But the good news is it didn't, which means she's still here on this earth to talk about what God revealed to her about her own heart and the truth of His Word that led her to freedom and healing. As a result of what she went through, God placed a dream in her heart to speak truth to women and young girls about their own inner and outer beauty. You'll get a glimpse of Hannah here at the very beginning of her journey toward pursuing this God-shaped dream. So, if you're just starting down the road of figuring out the dream God has placed on your heart, I hope Hannah's story and the baby steps she's taken toward her dream will be an encouragement to you today. And I pray you will also find some truth in this conversation about your own beauty as a daughter of the Most High. And here she is, Hannah Tolt. Hello, Hannah.
Hi.
Welcome. It's so good to have you on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's such a blessing. I can't wait to hear your story. And let me first share, I know you, kind of, through your sweet sister, Sarah Taggart, who was a guest last season on the show.
Right. And that is also how I heard about your podcast and heard about you. And I was very inspired by the different things that I've heard on it.
Oh, wow. It's really fun to talk to listeners and now have you as a guest. So thanks for taking the time today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, I always just start off asking people to share about their God-shaped dream. So why don't we go there first?
Okay. So in a nutshell, or in summary, my dream is to be a voice of truth in the realm of women's beauty. And my dream is to use my personal story and my testimony of the struggles that I have been through to really shed hope to other women and to just be a voice of truth in the midst of a lot of the lies that we are believing and following about what beauty is and how to achieve it. And I would love to do that through public speaking and through writing and leading workshops for women or younger girls specifically as well, and just really speak into this topic of beauty that I feel like is just very uncommon that women speak into, or that we speak into as a whole. I've just seen that a lot of women, I would say majority of women or all women, have these struggles with seeing how beautiful they are. And we just submit ourselves to believing that we need to struggle with body image issues or just constantly questioning our beauty. And I guess I hear a lot of the comment of, well, yeah, all women just struggle with that. And I just don't believe that that needs to be the way it is. And I believe that is undermining the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ and the victory that he can give us over anything in life, and specifically for this topic, the issue of beauty. So my dream is to really help women see how beautiful they are internally and externally. And I want to do that just through speaking and writing and just sharing my own story as well.
Well, we absolutely need to hear a version of your story. but talk to, because a lot of my guests come on and they haven't totally accomplished the dream, but they, you know, if you've written a book, you know, the book's published and then you come on the podcast, but you're kind of at the beginning stages of this, right?
Yeah, I am very much at the beginning stages. I've had this idea or desire in the back of my head for quite a few years. I had it started when I started really coming out of my issues. I had very severe anorexia. And as I began to find freedom, I was just so encouraged by the truth and the hope that I was finding. And I just wanted to proclaim it from the rooftops, literally. Like I thought that I had to struggle with that. And I just realized I didn't, because of Jesus Christ. And I just, I've had this idea in the back of my head for several years. However, I've been afraid. I've been really afraid of being vulnerable about the fact that I ever had that struggle. And then also, it's just scary to share your weaknesses with others and share, the insecurities or thoughts that you've had. I'm very in the beginning of that process. I'm just starting to be open and honest about the fact that that was a struggle of mine, which is significant progress for me personally. Mm-hmm. So, the fact that I'm even openly talking about this with anybody is a really big deal. And that is a huge, for me, stepping stone into wanting to make that story more known, whether it is through public speaking or writing. But I'm definitely at the beginning stages.
Which is encouraging. So just keep going.
Thank you.
Well, if you're up for it, I'd love you to share just a little bit of your testimony of recovering from anorexia and what God's done in your life with that.
Yes, absolutely. It is hard sharing it because it's very personal and very, it was very, very, very hard. But I'm happy to share it because I've realized that what I struggled with, and then now where I'm at with being healed and free of it, that it's not that I'm sharing a story about me. I'm sharing a story about what God can do and what He has done and what He wants to do for everybody. So even though I get nervous about sharing my story, it's not about me. It really is about, it could be anybody in any struggle. It's just, I'm literally proclaiming what God did. So, so for me, I started struggling with anorexia when I was in college, and, people will develop eating disorders or fall into them for a variety of reasons. But for me, it was, I was struggling to gain control over my life and also struggling with, competition from being in college athletics. And at the root of it, though, it was that I was believing I was not enough and that I was not beautiful, and that if I were to be a couple pounds smaller or whatever, that that would make me more satisfied and that would make me feel more beautiful. So at the root of it, that's what it was, that I was believing the very common lie that the world will tell you, that as a woman, you need to be stick thin in order to be beautiful. And so it manifested itself through these external pressures or circumstances that I was in at that time, like college athletics or whatever. But I believe at the root of it, it's just a very simple lie that a lot of women are believing. And so what happened was, it started out as a very, I would say, innocent thing of, I'm just going to eat healthier and I'm just going to exercise a little bit more. And what happened was, what happens with a lot of sin is that it started out as just I'm going to make these changes, and it became completely obsessive and completely addictive. And I guess I figured out how to essentially lose weight by the numbers. And I just went crazy. And I, in the course of not a lot of time, I lost like a third of my body weight. And I was ill. I was so, so ill mentally and physically. And prior to that, I had been, my family would have described me as very joyful and outgoing and full of life. And this eating disorder turned me into completely selfish, completely inward focused, and just not present. I was dead. Like, I was literally like dead in my body. Like, I just was this walking body, but I just was so wrapped up in this addiction to starving myself and over-exercising that I was alive, but like there was no life coming out of me. Mm-hmm. And, which is what sin does. And what's crazy was, at the time, I couldn't even see how deep into this addiction or this obsession that I was, which is true of eating disorders. Whether it's bulimia or anorexia or anything, you just become completely blinded to just the deception that you're walking in and the obsessiveness. It felt normal for me at that time. Like, I couldn't have pictured living a different way, but I was completely blinded. And so I just became, addicted to losing more and more and more weight. And my competitive side and my determined side, and my desire to be a self-controlled person worked against me, and Satan used it to make me very, quote, like, successful at being anorexic. Like, it was hard to derail me. Like, I was just obsessed with being perfect in these ways of calorie restriction and everything. So that went on, through pretty much all of college. And I got to a point where I would go to the doctor because I had a slew of health issues, which will happen from not eating. And I mean, all of my hormones were off. I was essentially not functioning as a woman. I stopped getting my menstrual cycle for 4 to 5 years. I had one doctor. I was going to see him for physical therapy because I was exercising so much that my body started to like deteriorate. And so all the exercise was just eating away at my body. And I had, just hip and joint issues and all sorts of things. And, I remember specifically I was, in his doctor's office and he closed the door and he said, "Hannah, I'm not supposed to do this for sake of the law. But I'm deeply concerned for you." And he said, "I know you're here for a hip issue, but I want to confront you about the fact that I think you have an eating disorder and I think you need to get help." And he said, when you walked into my office, he said, I could smell something on your skin. And he said, I forget the name of it right now, but he said, it's a process of the body dying, and the body, when it's dying, gives off a certain smell. And he said, "You'll smell this on people in nursing homes and people on their deathbed." And he said, "I can smell that on your skin." And he said, "I want you to know I'm concerned about you because you are killing yourself." Mm. And I was just so frail and thin at this point. And he said, "I can tell your body's eating away at all the muscles because you have no fat left on your body." And he said, "I want you to think about the fact that your brain is a muscle, your heart is a muscle." And he said, "Your body essentially has nothing left to live off of that you're eating at your heart and your brain and everything else that you need to function." And that was a huge wake up call for me. But I'll be totally honest, even in the midst of when he said that, I literally did not care. Like, I literally was placing being a size zero extra small over my life. And I was literally still so caught up in my deception at that point that I did not care. And now obviously it stuck with me in a way that I can still think about it now, 10 years later, but that's scary to me that's how deep into deception and how much I'd believe Satan's lies that would happen. But I would say a couple months after that, the accumulation of things added up, and that doctor confronting me out of love, which is amazing. And I had another doctor tell me I would likely not be able to have kids one day, because of what I had done to, my menstrual cycle. That all added up, as well as just hitting rock bottom in the sense that I just had no desire to even live anymore. I was so depressed and so anxious and just so depleted of everything that was giving me life and joy that I just hit rock bottom. And I remember very specifically, I was sitting in my apartment, in my college apartment in Arkansas, and I just fell to my knees and I said, "God, I do not know how to get better, but I'm willing for you to just take me and do something because I cannot live another day like this." And I had no idea what to do and I had no idea how to do it. But I just knew that I could not do it like by myself. It was impossible. And I don't think I actually would have prayed that prayer if I knew how much work was going to be ahead of me. I really don't. But God, it was real and it was genuine and it was an authentic prayer of crying for help. And God honored it and he took it and he took me from there. And I'm literally dumbfounded and in awe of what he has done in my life since then. From there, I just started listening to him. Like he, meaning the Holy Spirit, wants to guide us and he wants to set us free and he wants to give us life and hope. And from there, there was just something in me that was clearly God just working in me, and the Holy Spirit would just whisper little things to me and I would listen to them, and he would just show me a path of life and a path of peace. And I just started to see that there was life and peace through Jesus Christ, and that the other way of living in sin and living in my eating disorder was death. And I just started to be able to see it. And from there, it took about a year of learning. I started going to a nutritionist, and she, which was a huge deal for me, because I knew that seeing a nutritionist would mean I'd have to eat, and I'd have to be told what to eat. But something in me, because I had experienced so much death in my, like, I just felt so dead. I started to want life. And, so I would go to this nutritionist, and it took me a while to actually obey and follow what she told me. But she essentially, retaught me about food. And it, in the mind of an anorexic, they have all sorts of lies and misbeliefs about food. And I mean, I had thought if I ate a piece of bread, I would literally gain 10 pounds. Like, that was literally how my mind worked. And so I had to learn the science behind food, and I had to learn the truth, and I had to just work through all these fears I had about eating. And I was not that way when I was younger, up until I was 18. It just was anorexia completely warps and changes your mind completely. Mm. And so she taught me essentially how to eat again. And I mean, I remember one day trying to eat a piece of bread and sitting in my apartment in the attic of my apartment, and it took me 4 hours to eat it. Like, I specifically remember that, because I was so afraid of it. I laugh now because I eat bread every day now.
Bread's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great. So it just took a process of that, learning how to eat again, and working through all those lies. And that went on for about a year. And then I moved into my parents' house, and this was when I graduated college, and they were just incredibly patient and gracious with me, knowing how deep I was into my struggle. And I had made pretty significant progress by then, but I was still very much struggling. It was definitely the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, was working through mentally anorexia and trying to come out of it. And this is where things really changed, was I did not have a job at the time, and my parents just let me live there. And I would spend hours upon hours every day in my childhood bedroom, and I just started reading the Word. And the Bible and the words in the Bible just stood out to me in a whole new way, where I was raised Christian, and I genuinely have loved the Lord and wanted to walk with him since a young age, but I don't think I understood the depth of how sinful I am at my core, and that is what the gospel is that I'm broken and I need a savior. And I think I had been living more in the Christian lifestyle, but I hadn't seen how broken I am. So I was sitting there in my childhood bedroom reading the Word, and I very remember specifically reading in Romans, and in Romans chapter 8, and it talks about sin, and these different words in the Bible started to stand out to me, which was in regards to sin, such as selfishness and pride and idolatry. And I started to realize that what I was doing wasn't just an eating disorder, it was sin. And it was selfish, and it was totally idolizing my body and food and exercise. It was all just idols. And I had thought I just had this mental illness and disease, and it is a disease and it is an illness. But at the root of it, it was that it was sin, and I was living in sin. And then I read in Romans chapter 8 that I'm not a slave to my sinful nature through Jesus Christ. Like, I'm not a slave to that. And reading that verse was the moment that made me realize, wait a minute, I don't have to have this. Like, I don't have to struggle with this for the rest of my life, contrary to what I had been told. Like, I can be set free. And so that was huge for me, absolutely huge. And that's what I would say of all addictions and all issues that we have in life. Like, through Jesus Christ, anything is possible, and we don't have to be a slave to them. And so everything wasn't cured just in that moment, but I clung to that verse over and over again. As the days went out, I would struggle, and I would just remind myself, like, I am set free in Jesus Christ. He's in me. He's working through me. And I am not a slave to sin. I am not a slave to sin. And so he would just guide me from there in little decisions and all sorts of things. I mean, I had to break so many addictions. I was addicted to running, and by God somehow made me to be a gifted runner. Like, I can run well, but it was an addiction. And when it's an addiction, there's no joy in it. It's imprisoning. It's not setting you free. And so I had to break my addiction to running. I completely cold turkey stopped running and challenged myself. And it was hard. I would have these urges to go run another 10 miles or whatever, but I would literally lock myself in my room so that I could help myself break that addiction. And I just had to trust that what Jesus says is real, that satisfaction is found only in him, that he has the best in mind for me, that he wants me to have life and joy and peace. And so from there, he just brought me so far. That was back in 2010, so not even that long ago.
Wow.
And I mean, every year I felt farther and farther and farther out of it. And when I say out of it, I mean just freedom, where I wasn't addicted to running, or I wasn't addicted to counting my calories, or I wasn't addicted to all these things. And I just started to feel freedom. I mean, isn't that what so much of us just want in life, like freedom in, our day-to-day life and joy? And yeah, I just started to feel free, and I was able to eat healthy as well as enjoy ice cream when I want to enjoy ice cream. And I was able to run when I want to run, but not base my entire life around an exercise schedule. And I just saw that God and the Holy Spirit just wants to guide you in that. He doesn't want you to feel unhealthy. He also doesn't want you to be a slave to trying to be healthy. Like, he can totally provide a very peaceful meeting point where he wants you to take care of your body, but he doesn't want your whole soul purpose to be that. And I saw that he will take care of my body, and he has taken care of my body without it being an obsession. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness. And I feel so much healthier and far more beautiful than I ever felt when I was obsessed with things. Like, he just has so much more in store for us than when we try to control things ourselves. And so, so I've been, since I hit rock bottom, it's been only 8 years. And I mean, I've never felt more free in my life. And I firmly believe it's just from God working within me and listening to what he says is good, and not having idols, and just letting his Holy Spirit guide us, and putting people first and putting God first, and not ourselves, definitely not ourselves. And so this all has led to what my dream is, to help women in eating disorders be set free, but also to help women who perhaps don't have a diagnosed eating disorder, but I feel like every woman I've ever talked to struggles with her beauty and struggles with knowing how much she should be counting her calories and how much she should be exercising. It's just this ongoing mental battle for pretty much every woman I've ever met. And so I don't want to speak to women just with eating disorders, but I also want to speak to women that just struggle with this, because I think that just struggling with it, I think anyone could end up in an eating disorder. And I saw that for myself. It started out very innocently, of having all my teenage years of hating my body and whatnot. And at our core, it's all the same issue. It's all believing lies and whatnot. So I want to speak to women in that and really share the hope and truth that I have found.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Hannah.
Of course.
I so appreciate it. And I know there's, like you said, I think there are women out there who, even if they don't have an eating disorder, and even if they don't haven't experienced the darkness of anorexia that you have, we're surrounded by lies about who we are. So
absolutely,
we need to hear truth, and we need to be reminded that we are created by a good God, and that He sees us as beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so excited that this is the message that you want to share. And I can't remember if it was one of your sister's Instagram posts or if it was one of yours that we first connected, but I think it was when you first did like a workshop for some young girls.
Right.
Can you talk about that a little?
Of course. So one of my ideas is that I want to do public speaking, and I want to do writing a book and a blog. However, I also want to have workshop situations, because I believe a lot can happen through group discussion and through conversation. Mm-hmm. So I've only done this once. It's just an idea that I've had. But I went into a high school classroom, and I was able to talk to just a small group of they were juniors and seniors in high school. And we essentially sat around, and I gave everyone watercolor paints, markers, and big pieces of paper. And I wanted it to just be a time of freedom for them to express what they were thinking in whatever way was most fun for them or most beneficial. And this was in a secular high school. And I posed five different topics to them and asked them to communicate, what is this arena telling you about what is beautiful? And so the five different topics were the media, social media, your classmates or peers, your family and friends, and then yourself. And they just listed off words that came to mind, or descriptions of what that area tells them is beautiful. So for example, we talked about the media, and hands down, every single girl wrote on the paper, thin, flawless skin, fashionable. Then we did social media. Everyone said, oh, if someone gets a lot of likes on their picture, that means they're beautiful. And when you hear people voice it, you just start thinking, this is so sick. This is literally so sick that I have not even met these girls until this moment I walked into their classroom. But we're all thinking the same way. Like, we are all thinking the same way. And that doesn't mean that it's true. Just because there's a number of people thinking the same way doesn't mean that's true. And I could look at that and say, this isn't true. It isn't true that just thin is beautiful. And it isn't true that just because something gets a lot of likes means that it's something good, or that it means that it's something that's, you know, truly, truly what beauty is. And so we sat there, and I was dumbfounded how similar everyone was thinking, and saddened by it. And I also just saw, when we got to the topic of what are you saying to yourself about what is beautiful, or how do you see your own beauty? I didn't see one girl in the room write down something positive about themselves. I saw people write down, I'm too much work, or I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm a mistake. I mean, I was on the verge of tears in this classroom, because I was like, what in the world? Like, I looked at those girls, and I thought they were beautiful. And I thought, this is really crazy, the lies that are going on. And so that was, I feel, a really beneficial time, just in a short amount of time. And I would really love to do that more often. I think that would even be beneficial, even in an elementary school setting, where those voices start happening. And I want to start talking about those things and talking through them earlier on for girls, because I think the earlier you can start identifying lies and speaking truth over them, the more impact that can have, because otherwise you start believing those lies from a very young age. And I know I did, and I know I wish I would have had someone kind of talk me through those things at a younger age. And yeah, I would love to just help discussions like that.
And so more workshops. What else? What are some of the other little baby steps that you're working on?
So another big one is I'm a photographer. I have a photography business, and one of my main goals when I'm taking pictures is I do things like weddings and portraits and families, but knowing that women are some of the main people that struggle with this, I always try to make a point to pull the women aside and do pictures of just them. So that could be when I'm doing a family shoot, I always try to pull the mom aside and take some just portraits of just her. And or with a wedding, just of the bride specifically, or when I love doing just like portraits for senior pictures or things. And my goal in that is I want to help women see how beautiful they are. And I'm trying to figure out how to explain this. That there's nothing that is so neat than like seeing when I give a pictures back to a client, when she's just a female client says, "Wow, I feel really beautiful in that picture." And I'm like, "Yes, because you are, like, because you are." And we all know that beauty is not just an external thing. It is internal as well. But I do believe that there is something that a woman, every woman desires deep down inside, is to feel and to know that she is beautiful. And I do believe that God is a God of also visual beauty. And we know that from his creation. And we know that from when we see art or when we see things that are just aesthetically pleasing, like he delights in that as well. And I believe every single woman carries that. There's not a single exception on this earth. And I believe through a woman seeing that in herself and just a picture that just is her, the pictures that women find beautiful of themselves, I've noticed, are when they have an authentic smile or when they are just being themselves. And that to me is reflective of what God says about us, is just that who we are at our core is enough, and that is true beauty. And so yeah, that's the only thing I do when I'm taking pictures of women. I'm just trying to get an authentic smile or just them being themselves. And hands down, that's always when those are the pictures that the women say, "Oh my goodness, I'm so beautiful." It's just them being themselves. It's nothing magic about it. It's just capturing who they are.
So we just need to do away with all the posed pictures.
Totally.
I mean, that's one small thing.
Yes. Just that one workshop is what I've done, and then taking pictures, but then also writing. I love writing, and I did document via writing my entire journey through anorexia, and I have all those journal entries, and I would type in the midst of it just to kind of get out on paper what I was feeling, never with the intention of ever sharing that with anyone, but I do want to share it now because it's a story of hope and healing for anyone that ever walks through that. And so, I want to share that journey, but then I also love writing now, and I'm working on a blog, to really just document and share with people the truths that God has revealed to me. I don't want it to be a blog about me but I just want it to be about things that God has revealed to me through his word and just through him doing divine revelation in my head, and just the truths that I think we can cling to as women about what beauty is and how to be set free from all these thoughts that we have.
And you've talked about initially like how hard it has felt to want to be vulnerable and share your story. I'm curious, like, does it get easier the more you do that hard thing of sharing?
That's a good question. I would say yes, but also no. Definitely, it's easier than when I first ever opened up to anybody about it. Yeah. However, the more you open up and the more people you open up to, the more opportunity it gives for more people to view you differently, I would say. Mm-hmm. I've had experiences where people will view me differently once they've known I've struggled with that, or they'll judge me or make assumptions about just about things. And so I would say I still deal with a lot of fear in regards to that. And I think any time we're trying to do something for God, Satan is going to try to step in because he sees where you can be useful and he's going to attack those things. What has grown in me is my discernment of when Satan is attacking me mm-hmm. and when he's placing voices over me or thoughts over me that I can, at first I start to believe them and I go, wait a minute, that is not what God says about me and that is not true. So I can more quickly discern that and push those away. But I think the big thing that really has helped me to open up is what I said prior, that my story is not about me. Like I don't care that much anymore if people see me as broken, because reality is I am broken. And reality also is that Jesus Christ makes us whole. And so through him, I am whole. But I mean, if people want to view me differently, that's fine. And it doesn't make a big impact on me. Like that doesn't matter. Like I am a broken person. We all are broken people. And so, but I think the thing that has really, really wanted me to make my story more known is when I've shared it with women and they just say, my goodness, I completely relate. And my goodness, I didn't know that other women struggled with that too. And I'm seeing that our struggles are so similar. I just want to share something really quickly, that something that helped me get out of anorexia was, I remember when I was still in the midst of it, I went to the library and I checked out books on eating disorders. And I remember sitting in the library reading these books about eating disorders and going, wait a minute, I'm not the only person that thinks this way. Oh my goodness, I'm not the only person that does those weird habits. And that thought led me to, wow, Satan is so boring. Like,
totally
makes us all struggle with the exact same struggles. Like, I felt so like, in a sinful way, like, oh, I had like mastered this like evil thing. And then I realized, like, okay, a lot of other people have mastered this evil thing too. And Satan's lies are just rampant. They're all the same lies. He's so non-creative.
Yeah.
And I serve the creator. Like, our God is a God of every single person being unique and just no snowflake being the same and every story being special. And that was like this huge moment of revelation to me of Satan has no power here. This is so stupid. And my God is so big. And so I say that because I think these issues and these thoughts that women are having, though many people have never talked to anyone about it and they just assume, oh, I just, you know, struggle with body image. I struggle with thinking I'm beautiful. My guess is the thoughts that they're having is the same as the woman next door or the person sitting next to them in church or their family members. Like, no one's just talking about it. So that's why I think I want to talk about it more and I want other women to just be more open about it, because Satan has no power. And I think that will give Satan less power in that area where we all realize mm-hmm. we can all combat these lies together.
Totally. I love that. I've been thinking some of those same things about how we think about our dreams too. So he's absolutely not creative and telling us all the same lies. So
yes, completely.
We can fight back against that.
Amen.
So I'd love to hear what scripture has, or if you have a verse that you're kind of leaning on right now in this process of walking out this dream.
My verse is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, which is, my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that is it's almost hard to come up with words to describe why it's so valuable to me, because it just makes sense, meaning that I don't know how else this all happened, meaning my healing, except for with God's power. And like, it's nothing I did. Like, the fact that I'm healed is totally by the grace of God. And so that being said, when I'm sharing my story and sharing hope and wanting to speak to other women, it's not that I'm sharing some wisdom of Hannah. I'm sharing the wisdom of God. And that makes me confident in sharing my story, because if I'm just relying on myself, I shouldn't be confident. Like, I'm very, very broken at my core and very sinful. And so I don't want to share my own wisdom. I want to share God's. And so that's deeply encouraging to me, that I can share truth and share my story and speak to other women, but that I don't have to rely on myself. Like, that's great. I don't want to. And so that makes me deeply encouraged and deeply confident, because he, meaning God, wants to step in and he wants to intervene, and he just wants to use me as a vessel to share the truth that already exists.
And so what advice would you give to somebody who's kind of in a similar place with you? Either they're just kind of starting out in pursuing a God-shaped dream, or they're trying to figure out what God's doing in their heart about their dream. What would you say to those women?
I would say to not do it for the affirmation of others. Mm-hmm. Because if we're living for others' approval, we will be left unsatisfied. But if we are doing things for God, then you can't fail at that, because God sees everything and he sees your heart, and he's the one that gives true satisfaction. He's the one that gives true victory. And so I would just say, focus on doing it for God and don't be doing it for others, because if others don't affirm you in it, then you will feel deeply discouraged. And I'm saying that from personal experience, that any time I've done things for, you know, affirmation of others, like, if you do get a lot of affirmation, it feels good only temporarily, and then you're left still seeking more affirmation. But if you do it, and then if they don't approve of you, then you feel awful. And yeah. So I've just learned to just always make sure your focus is on, okay, Lord, take this and do what you want with it, and be okay with like small baby steps. Like, they're, but really, what is small baby steps? I think this world bases things on numbers. And so how many people you spoke to, or how many things of affirmation you got via social media, but maybe that's not, you know, maybe that stuff isn't what matters at all. And a lot of times I'm thinking it doesn't, but, you know, impacting one person in a conversation, or just your own personal victories of being vulnerable, that stuff is valuable, absolutely valuable. So I think my main advice is just have your focus being on serving God and glorifying him, and not on needing others' approval.
So I always ask my guests, what is their kind of favorite go-to resource right now as they're walking out their dreams? So what's yours?
If I'm being totally honest, I would say prayer. Because I do read books and I do listen to other things, but I think it's important to always make sure that what we're hearing lines up with the Word of God and lines up with the Holy Spirit is personally convicting us of. And everyone's story is unique. And so everyone's advice and approach is going to be different. And so I would say prayer and the Bible are vital, because they tie into what I said right before this, that you need to make sure that you are doing things for God's eyes and not other humans' eyes. And so when you're in the Word and in prayer, it aligns your mind with the Holy Spirit's mind. And that is what has led me to all these conclusions that God has revealed to me. And those conclusions didn't happen just by like reading other books or whatever. But I still do like to read other books. And but I think first and foremost, you need to make sure you are in the Bible and in prayer.
And then just my last question for you, Hannah, before we go, is if you could speak directly to the woman that needs to hear this message of how beautiful she is, what would you say to her?
I would say you absolutely already hold so much beauty that is irreplaceable, and that the way that you look and your personality and what you love and what you desire and how you relate to people, that all of that is exactly the way that it should be, that there is a divine creator behind that, and that he created you at the exact height with the perfect hair color, your skin, your size. Everything was with intention by our creator, and it was not a mistake, and it's perfect for a reason. And I'd also say that Satan knows that you are beautiful. I really truly believe that Satan knows that you are beautiful, and that's why he's attacking you. And if he didn't think you were beautiful, he would see no need to attack you. But I believe he knows that you are beautiful and useful for the kingdom of God. And so he's going to try to derail you in your thoughts, so that you're not offering your beauty to the world because you're holding back. But in reality, you are so beautiful. And the voices that Satan is speaking to you are purely lies. And I believe that God absolutely wants you to walk in your beauty and to not spend your time questioning it, but walking in it. And the whole purpose of it is to just bring glory back to him and to reflect his beauty. And so, I would just encourage to delight in your beauty and find freedom there. And that, it's already there. Like it's not something you need to earn or obtain or change to make happen, but you are already beautiful.
If you need some ideas of what it looks like to take baby steps toward your dream, this was the episode for you. The story of Hannah's God-shaped dream began long before she knew it existed. You heard her talk about the prison of her battle with anorexia and how she was set free. And then how God lit a fire in her heart to not only help set other captives free, but also to speak life into the hearts of his women. I love that what she has experienced is so true to his word, that God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. And maybe you have seen God doing something similar in your life, using your own experiences to shape the calling of your heart for his kingdom. Hannah talked about journaling through this journey she's been on, and I believe journaling is such a helpful tool for processing out our dreams with God. But in case you're not much of a journaler, or you feel like you just need a little more guidance than a blank page, I've got a free resource for you with today's episode that may begin to help you see the breadcrumbs of your God-shaped dream. Go grab a copy right now. You can find it on my website at meritonsa.com/crumbs. And if you feel like you want to share what God's showing you in this process of figuring out your calling, we'd love to have you come on over to the Devoted Dreamers Insiders group on Facebook. There, you can get early access to free resources I share on the show, like the one I just mentioned, and be part of a growing network of women who are encouraging one another, praying for each other, and cheering each other on in their journey. You'll find us by searching for Devoted Dreamers in Facebook groups. One thing we've been discussing in the Facebook group recently is using a hashtag for each episode of the podcast so that you can begin to discuss topics related to each episode on social media and bring in others to the conversation who need to hear it. So episode 48, let's use the hashtag DreamerChat48 to discuss this week's conversation with Hannah. If something stuck out to you, go ahead and share that. Otherwise, today's question is, what lies are you believing? These could be about your own beauty, about your dream or your calling, or anything else that you might need help seeing the truth. And just so you don't have to stop what you're doing right this minute, I'll post that question and the hashtag in the show notes and the show description so you can find it later on. By the way, the show notes are at meritonsa.com/podcast/48. And that's where you can also find the resources mentioned in this episode, as well as how to connect with Hannah online. That link is also in the show description, so you can just click to it from your podcast listening app. We are just 2 episodes away from the end of season 2, which will wrap up with episode 50 and my interview with author and If Gathering founder Jenny Allen on June 21st. I'm taking a little California vacation with my family and a hiatus from posting new episodes until about mid-July, when I'll be back going strong with a new season of women sharing about their God-shaped dreams. So that's it for today's episode. Next week, I look forward to introducing you to Corinne Sandifer. Corinne is a business and life coach with a vision of helping other women in the workplace. She's been coaching women entrepreneurs and students since 2010 and helping her clients discover their talents and skills so they can reach their highest level of contribution at work, school, and in life. She is the owner and founder of Brentwood Life Coach, that's near Nashville, Tennessee, and she's the host of Rising Stories podcast, where she interviews business owners and authors who tell their stories of triumph, grit, and glory. So until next week, please take a minute to go review this show on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you use for listening to podcasts. When you do, you're helping other people who need this show to find it as well. That's it for today, my friend. Thank you again so much for joining me. And wherever you are with your God-shaped dream, I pray you have the courage to take one step toward its realization today. See you next week.